U.S. Civil War General John Sedgwick, right before being shot and killed by a sniper, told those around him, the troops around him, not to worry. He said, and I quote, "They couldn't hit an elephant from this distance." And here is the origin of the sarcastic phrase, famous last words. And they, for John Sedgwick, were literally famous last words. You know how we use that saying in a sarcastic way. Somebody might say something like, "I know exactly what I'm doing. This can't possibly go wrong. I've got this." And then the wisecracking friend next door, right next to him, says, "Famous last words," because we know it's not going to go how you want it to go. In Mary's song from Luke chapter 1, what we often call the Magnificat, you can almost imagine, as she sings this, the words and the thoughts that the proud and the mighty have on their mouths and in their hearts. There are men and women that rest upon their own riches and in their own comforts. They rest upon their own positions of power. They're mighty. They have achievements that are notched on their belt. They even might rest in their own virtue, their own goodness, their own ability, much like maybe the Pharisees do. They say to themselves, "I'm good. I'm secure. I've got this. I've got it all figured out." And in Mary's song, you can almost hear God whisper to them, "Famous last words." I came across this quote from Luther this week, and I don't know exactly where it comes from, but I think it's in reference to this passage, the Magnificat of Mary. And he says, "God is the kind of Lord who does nothing but exalt," or that means lift up, raise high, "those of low degree, and put down the mighty from their thrones." In short, Luther says, and this is also his quote, "God breaks what is whole and makes whole what is broken." God is the kind of Lord, Luther says, who likes to break what is whole and make whole what is broken. And that captures Mary's song pretty clearly. When she sings in verses 51 to 53, "The Lord has used his powerful arm to scatter those who are proud, to break those who are proud. God drags strong rulers from their thrones, puts the humble people in places of power. God gives the hungry good things to eat and sends the rich away with nothing. He breaks the whole and makes whole the broken." Now, quite often when we read passages like this, we'll think, "Oh, that's obviously talking about somebody else." And maybe Mary actually has literally in mind rulers like Herod and the rich and the powerful of her land. But we should always keep in mind that Scripture is a word to us, and the Spirit wants to use this word upon us. And so we should know that as Mary is talking about the mighty and the powerful, she's also talking about you and I. Because if God is to make something whole out of what is broken, as sinners, we all need to be broken so that God might make us whole. We need to be broken of the thought that our goodness, our virtue, makes us better than our neighbor. Or that our goodness or virtue warrants that special place in heaven just for us. We need to be broken of that. We need to be broken of of being comfortable in our sin and presuming upon God's grace. Oh, I'll just go to church. I'll take care of it there. No, God has a will for us, a way for us to live. We need to be broken of self-dependency, self-reliance, this thought that I'm strong, this mentality of I've got this. We need to be broken of that. I got a reminder of that this week, actually. The LCMC, which is the Association of Lutheran Congregations that we belong to, very randomly sent me this bracelet. And on one side it says Isaiah 43:1, which says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And on the other side of the bracelet, it says, "God's got this." We need to be broken of this thing, this mentality that says, "I've got this. I can do this. I'm..." This mentality that focuses on ourselves. And made whole in a way to know that God is the one who has this. God likes to break what is whole and make whole what is broken. And Christmas is the beginning of God's rebuilding project. The beginning of his plan to make sinners whole again. And he does so by becoming broken himself. This is the age-old story of the gospel. We know this, but we have to hear it over and over again. Mild he lays his glory by. He gives up what is his and rightfully is his to become broken like one of us. The very act of our Lord, the one who has always been, the very act of him taking on flesh and inhabiting the womb of a young Jewish woman, of being vulnerable to all that it means to be a creature and not creator, is an act of voluntarily being broken for us. But that's not enough by itself. Christmas by itself is never enough. It is only a part of the story. And so to go further, to make sinners whole, our Lord allows himself to be broken and shattered to the very extremes, that the author of life himself allows death to inhabit him. From womb to tomb to empty tomb, it is all so that God can make sinners whole again, to make what is broken into his own remade creation. Through our Lord's brokenness, he makes whole what he breaks in us, so that, like Mary, in your humility, you might be exalted in faith. That in your hungry, you can be fed by his flesh and blood. That, like Mary and like Elizabeth, you might know God's mercy. And so, because of that, be called blessed. Let us pray. Oh, gracious, wonderful, Heavenly Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who came down into our humanity, came down into our brokenness and became a part of it, so that through him, through his victory over all, that we might be made whole. O Lord, continue to break us of those things that we depend upon, so that we might only depend upon you. We pray for faith and trust and strength to see us through these processes. We pray this in your name. Amen.